The world is entering what Kevin Rudd calls the decade of living dangerously, a period when U.S.-China tensions have escalated to their highest point in generations. This isn't just another foreign policy challenge, it's potentially the defining geopolitical relationship of our century. What makes Rudd's analysis so compelling is his rare combination of insider access and cultural fluency. As a Mandarin-speaking former prime minister who has met personally with Xi Jinping, Rudd offers insights few Western observers can match. The stakes couldn't be higher. These two superpowers possess the world's largest economies and most powerful militaries, yet they increasingly view each other through lenses of suspicion and strategic rivalry. The fundamental question isn't whether competition will continue, it's whether that competition can be managed without spiraling into catastrophic conflict. Xi Jinping has abandoned China's decades-long approach of hiding strength and biding time for bold assertions that time and momentum are on our side, reflecting his confidence in China's ascendancy and determination to restore its global position. Through his anti-corruption campaign, Xi has eliminated rivals while consolidating unprecedented personal power and tightening party control over business, technology, and daily life. His message to tech titans like Jack Ma was clear: no one stands above the Communist Party. Concerning is the information bubble surrounding Xi. Despite his daughter attending Harvard and his 1980s visits to America, Xi neither speaks nor reads English. His understanding of America comes filtered through translations and briefings that skew negative, compounded by officials' fear of contradicting him, creating dangerous potential for miscalculation during crises when clear understanding of an adversary's intentions is crucial. Have you ever wondered why great powers often end up in devastating wars despite wanting to avoid conflict? The ancient Greek historian Thucydides explained, "It was the rise of Athens and the fear that this instilled in Sparta that made war inevitable." This pattern, a rising power threatening to displace a ruling one, has resulted in war in 12 of 16 such cases over the past 500 years. The structural stresses of this Thucydides trap are evident in today's U.S.-China relationship. China now has the world's largest navy by ship count and multiple aircraft carriers. Its string of pearls ports enable global power projection, while advances in space, cyber capabilities, and AI have convinced Washington that Beijing harbors global ambitions. What makes this rivalry particularly dangerous is the profound mutual distrust between the nations. Americans struggle to understand China's opaque decision-making, while Beijing dismisses Washington's diplomatic language as fiction. Unlike the Cold War's clear division, today's superpowers remain economically integrated, creating weaponized interdependence where economic ties become strategic competition tools. Xi Jinping's strategic thinking comprises 10 concentric circles expanding outward. At the core is maintaining Communist Party control, with Xi positioning himself alongside Mao. The second circle focuses on territorial integrity, especially Taiwan. The third prioritizes economic prosperity for stability, while the fourth addresses environmental challenges. The fifth circle involves modernizing the People's Liberation Army into a technologically advanced force capable of projecting power beyond China's borders. The sixth manages relationships with 14 neighboring states, while the seventh aims to secure China's maritime periphery by undermining confidence in American military effectiveness. The eighth circle extends influence across Eurasia through the Belt and Road Initiative. The ninth builds ties throughout the developing world to elevate China's economic relationships above American ones. The final circle involves reshaping international rules and norms, challenging American leadership by changing existing institutions from within while creating new ones outside established frameworks. Xi Jinping's primary concern is ensuring the Communist Party's permanent rule with himself at the helm. Haunted by the Soviet Communist Party's 1991 collapse, Xi has reversed power flows to state bureaucracy, placing the party at the center of all decision-making while reasserting Marxist-Leninist ideology. The cornerstone of Xi's vision is the China Dream, restoring China to its central global role through the great rejuvenation of the Chinese nation. This dream has specific milestones: becoming a moderately prosperous society by 2021, already achieved, and a fully advanced economy by 2049, the PRC's centenary. A fundamental tension exists between Xi's economic objectives and his control agenda. This manifests in increasing state intervention in private businesses, with party secretaries embedded in firms, and debates over state equity in private companies. After Jack Ma criticized financial regulators, authorities suspended Ant Group's IPO, investigated Alibaba, and imposed record fines, exemplifying this tension. This subordination of even China's most successful enterprises to party control risks business confidence, investment, and capital flight. Yet Xi appears willing to accept slower growth for tighter control, believing only the party can deliver the stability necessary for China's continued rise. Many Americans underestimate Taiwan's importance to Beijing. While peripheral in Washington debates, Taiwan represents unfinished business from China's civil war and a cornerstone of Xi's national rejuvenation campaign. Beijing views America as the primary obstacle to completing this sacred historical mission. The situation has grown increasingly volatile since Taiwan's democratization. Beijing's strategy of economic absorption failed when Hong Kong's autonomy was crushed in 2019, destroying Taiwanese support for the one-country, two-systems model. Recent polls show over 80% of Taiwanese reject this framework, with younger generations increasingly identifying as Taiwanese rather than Chinese. Xi has concluded the gradualist approach merely gave independence forces time to develop nationalist sentiment. He has accelerated military modernization specifically for Taiwan scenarios, building amphibious assault capabilities, missile systems, and cyber warfare tools. The PLA now regularly conducts exercises simulating Taiwan Strait blockades. Xi appears to be working to secure Taiwan during his political lifetime, possibly by the mid-2030s. Military analysts suggest China's capabilities for a Taiwan invasion will peak around 2027-2035, creating a dangerous window that aligns with broader PLA modernization goals. Rudd proposes managed strategic competition as an alternative to capitulation or conflict. This approach requires understanding each other's strategic red lines, channeling rivalry into nonviolent competition, and creating space for cooperation on mutual interests like climate change. The U.S. and China need crisis prevention procedures similar to those established between America and the Soviet Union after the Cuban Missile Crisis. Confidence-building measures could include abstaining from cyber attacks on critical infrastructure, reducing provocative military exercises near Taiwan, and respecting freedom of navigation in disputed waters. Few have considered a U.S.-China conflict's true cost: hundreds of thousands of casualties, global economic depression, and potential escalation to weapons of mass destruction. Modern economic interconnectedness makes containment particularly difficult. This approach doesn't rely on trust, but on minimum rules with verification mechanisms like military hotlines, cyber incident protocols, and crisis communication channels. Strategic stability might eventually enable cooperation on common challenges. The question isn't whether competition can be avoided, but whether it can be managed without war. The choice between managed competition with clear rules or unmanaged rivalry with no guardrails may determine the 21st century's course.